Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Wonderful to have you with us today. Later this hour, we'll take a look at the controversy between the NBA and China and its fans there. A tweet by the Houston Rockets general manager showing support for protesters in Hong Kong has led to an international furor. The cancellation of NBA broadcasts on Chinese government-owned television, as well as the disappearance of Houston Rockets merchandise from websites throughout China. We'll talk about how deep the damage is in the business relationship between the NBA and China after Daryl Morey's tweet. That comes up later this hour. But first, Los Angeles voters overwhelmingly passed Proposition HHH back in 2016. It was a $1.2 billion bond measure that promised to create 10,000 units of supportive housing within the city of L.A. This, of course, is the homelessness crisis has exploded here in Los Angeles. Now, Ron Galperin, L.A. city attorney, last night released an audit of how that measure HHH money is being spent. Mr. Galperin, it's good to have you with us today to talk about it on Air Talk.
Good to be with you. Thank you.
Let's talk about, first of all, how many units have been constructed or are under construction as a result of HHH?
Well, as you mentioned, it is now 3 years ago that the voters overwhelmingly approved by 77% the $1.2 billion that was supposed to go for creating housing, most notably permanent supportive housing for those experiencing homelessness. 3 years in, not one single unit is completed. There are 19 that are under construction, but those costs are at a median of $531,000 a unit, and there are some that are going to cost $700,000 a unit. And so as city controller, I undertook to do an audit of this and am very concerned about the path that the city has taken so far in terms of performance on this much-needed housing.
And I was I found it interesting that we're not talking about the property acquisition costs being the biggest part of that. What is it that hits the median cost up to over $500,000?
Well, some people would have thought that it was the cost of real estate, but in fact, that makes up a relatively small component. Something like up to 40% of costs are so-called soft costs, and that is for development fees, consultants, financing, attorneys, so much more. And what is happening is a huge amount of bureaucracy, which takes a lot of time and a lot of money and a lot of parties that are involved in each and every single project. And so you end up taking 3 to 6 years to build these at a cost that, quite frankly, is just not sustainable.
And so what are the ways that the city could more affordably build these projects? Why is it costing them presumably more than it would be for someone privately to be constructing a similar unit?
Well, the city doesn't finance all of these projects because some of the money may come from the state, some of it may come from the federal government, some from private investors, but because there are so many parties that are involved, it is multiple layers of approvals. And so I think we have to look at, first of all, how can we encourage those in the private sector to create much more affordable housing, and how do we look at creating more micro units, more shared housing opportunities? How do we take some of this money, at least in the interim, for even some temporary housing alternatives that will help get people off the street today as opposed to 3 or 6 years from now? And how do we look at those projects that are being delivered more affordably and emulate those and not be approving projects that are $700,000 a door?
Wouldn't it seem odd that the city could go out and buy people condos in many cases for less money?
Well, in fact, the cost of these units is in excess of the typical condo in the city of L.A., in excess of the typical house in the county of Los Angeles in some cases. It's shocking and unacceptable.
We're talking with Los Angeles City Controller Ron Galperin, who last night released an audit of Measure Triple H passed 3 years ago by Los Angeles City voters. If you have questions for him about his audit and its findings, we're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Ron, could we step back for a moment? You sort of walk us through the process of how these units get built, because you mentioned the city doesn't control the full process. So how do these funds get allocated, and how does a project get greenlit?
Well, there are proposals that are solicited by the city for funding of projects that would qualify as being permanent supportive housing or other kind of housing that is affordable that would be permitted under this proposition. And then there is a lengthy process of review, and some of these projects are then conditionally approved, and that depends on approval by a whole bunch of other parties that may be participating in funding. And then after all of that, there is a whole issue of approval in terms of planning and building and safety and so much more. And so you end up with this bureaucratic mess and 3 to 6 years for a project from conception to completion.
Also wanted to ask you, Ron, about the bond process itself, because your audit finds that they oversold the HHH bonds before they needed the revenue for the project. So what did that cost in interest payments?
Well, basically what happened was is that these bonds were issued, about $360 million of bonds issued before the money was actually needed. And at the time when these bonds were issued, the city thought, well, we're going to spend the money more quickly. That did not happen. And so while paying the bondholders almost 3.5%, the return the city is getting on the money is about 1.8%. That translates into about $5.2 million in wasted interest payments, money that we will never see again.
Yeah, there's been a real call from people who are providing homeless shelters to people in need, that the real emphasis needs to be on shelter beds because of the crisis on the streets. It's one of the points Andy Bales of Union Rescue Mission has made, that the cost of building permanent supportive housing is so high right now that the big priority needs to be just getting people off the streets into safe shelter beds. Is there a way that this money could be allocated toward that, at least in part, instead of permanent supportive housing?
Well, I think we absolutely need that permanent supportive housing, and it doesn't have to be an either or. But having said that, 1,000 people are anticipated to die on our streets in the coming year. That is a travesty. It is a tragedy. It is unacceptable in a city like Los Angeles. And so while we are working on some more permanent solutions, I think that money has to be allocated to some of the temporary solutions, imperfect they may be. And those can be shelters, that can be bridge housing, it can be hygiene centers where people can just wash up or do some laundry, other kinds of service facilities, places where we can have safe parking, where we can have safe tenting areas that are not on the sidewalk. There are a lot of imperfect, temporary ideas that can help alleviate the suffering that we have on our streets much more quickly.
We're talking with Los Angeles City Controller Ron Galperin, who last night put out his department's audit of the Measure HHH funds, $1.2 billion in bonds to construct permanent supportive housing in Los Angeles. Also joining us is the Chief Executive Officer of the Skid Row Housing Trust, a permanent supportive housing provider that develops real estate and provides services to homeless Angelenos, Lee Ragas. Lee, thank you very much for being with us. What's your response to the audit?
Well, thank you for having me and including me in this conversation. Our response to the audit is that it was, you know, thoughtful and thorough, and trying to take a comprehensive look on a fairly complex situation. We do understand that this was the first time that an audit occurred, so we understand the complexities. We've been living with them. We live with them now. You know, we do definitely support, you know, kind of accountabilities and views. We're highly sensitive to the increasing costs. You know, as everyone knows, our costs are in line with market rate materials, market rate labor, but the population that we serve is a little bit different than traditional market rate housing. So we're very grateful for, so from the behalf, on behalf of Skid Row Housing Trust or organization like ours, we're the recipient of those Triple H funds. And as you may know, our organization has multiple properties and projects that are in pipeline, and equally important, we have two projects going up in construction online that will be housing about 255 homeless, you know, individuals in the next 3 to 6 months. So we're very grateful for the Triple H money. We understand the complexities. We understand the costs. We do a lot to try to drive them down as well. We understand and support the need for the audit. I do think that, you know, as time goes on, the complexities that contribute to those costs will come on. Perhaps next year's audits, you know, we'll be able to kind of show a little bit of that. But
let me clarify, because I'm not following that. Do you mean that some of this is startup costs?
Just because the Triple H measure was passed a few years ago, just the natural delays in real estate development overall, you know, delays cost, you know, increased costs and increased time to make something happen. And I think once we passed these first couple of years, because it got passed in 2016, it started to get deployed about a year ago, you know, I think the pace and velocity in which you'll see money being distributed, properties being built, homelessness being solved will pick up from next year on.
Do you think the costs per unit will decrease, or is this just what it's going to cost?
You know, I think it's a really good question. It's a really tough question. We believe just based on the actions that we take, you know, that we can pursue alternatives to decrease the cost. I think as, you know, efficiencies in the system, efficiencies in the process, you know, removing the delays, that we will see a downturn in overall costs as different types of housing or homes are pursued, like modular, again, like the efficiency, you know, the pace in which we're doing the removal of some of the barriers. I think we'll see the cost trend down.
We're talking with Lee Ragas, who's with the Skid Row Housing Trust, also joining us from the L.A. City Mayor's Office, Chief Housing Officer Ben Winter. Mr. Winter, your response to the controller's audit.
Hi, Larry. Thanks so much for having me on this morning.
So what's your response to this?
Yeah, so the mayor certainly appreciates the controller's deep dive into this complex industry of developing affordable housing. You know, this is really difficult work, and I think his report did a good job describing just how difficult it really is. Building the city's long-term infrastructure for our homeless safety net is sort of like building out the transportation network. It's expensive and takes time. But we are advancing solutions that we know work and that will serve generations of homeless Angelenos. We agree with many of the recommendations that the controller put in his report. In fact, most of his recommendations are actually already underway. For instance, he called for the mayor's office to expand upon the mayor's Executive Directive 13, which instructs departments to streamline and prioritize the permitting process for affordable and supportive housing developments, and we've already done that and expanded that to the Departments of Fire, DWP. But, you know, there are a few things that we may not be on the same page for. First of all, we strongly believe that we're going to meet the goal of building 10,000 units of supportive housing, and don't see that his report is accurately accounting for the full pipeline of supportive housing projects that we have underway. You know, we have 151 supportive housing projects in the pipeline. That represents more than 10,000 units, almost 13,000 bedrooms. Now, that's both affordable and supportive housing units. We have Since voters approved Triple H, we actually completed 15 projects through other funding sources besides Triple H. And we have 29 supportive housing projects that are actively under construction.
You know, I can't quote the mayor word for word, but my recollection is during the time of campaigning for Triple H and in the immediate aftermath that there were going to be thousands of units coming online quickly. Not that we'd be sitting here 3 years later talking about maybe next year, you know, we're going to have a lot more of the housing units constructed. Why was this delay not anticipated?
Well, first of all, Triple H was always meant to more than triple our regular production of supportive housing. So typically, we've set aside enough resources to build about 300 units of supportive housing every year, and Triple H gives us the additional resources to get up to about 1,000 units per year. So Triple H was never meant to be an emergency solution to the homeless crisis. It's really meant to build out that long-term infrastructure for the homeless safety net that rolls out over the course of a decade. But as we build out this long-term infrastructure with Prop HHH, we have other resources to address the crisis that are on the streets today that we're advancing with in partnership with the county and the state. So for instance, our city's general fund and new emergency funds that Governor Newsom approved from the state's reserve funds, that's contributing to 26 emergency shelters through the mayor's Abridge Home program, with almost 2,000 beds opening up by the end of this fiscal year. Also, Measure H, that's the county initiative, the companion one, is bringing in over $3 billion over the next decade that not only supports the services and the supportive housing developments that we're building, but it's also funding more flexible housing interventions like emergency shelters, rapid rehousing programs, and locally funded rental assistance programs that can work in the private rental market.
All right.
And if any landlords are out there right now listening, we do encourage you to participate in these programs by going to leaseuplosangeles.org, which is a site run by the nonprofit organization PATH that can help pair them with an individual family that's looking to lease up with one of the flexible programs.
We're talking with the LA City Mayor's Office Chief Housing Officer, Ben Winter. Ben, I also wanted to ask you about the recommendations that are in the controller's report that there be one department dedicated to oversight of Measure HHH funding and that the permitting process be streamlined. Can the city do that?
Yeah, well, I would say, first of all, we definitely agree with the need to streamline the permitting process of supportive housing and affordable housing also for just lower income households that are on the verge of becoming homeless. In fact, in 2015, the mayor issued Executive Directive 13, which I already mentioned, that helps prioritize supportive housing in our major development services departments. And we've recently hired new staff in the mayor's office to help troubleshoot projects through the complicated permitting process. The mayor has also been very supportive at the state level for initiatives to streamline the permitting process like SB 35. We also passed what we call a permanent supportive housing ordinance that removes a lot of regulatory barriers for supportive housing developers. Unfortunately, that has been challenged by a local neighborhood group, but we also supported and the mayor sponsored 1197 that the governor just signed last week that can help pave the way for that ordinance to be in effect later this year or early next year, and also exempts these projects from the state's CEQA process.
So how, by the end of next year, how many units will be completed?
I don't have that stat on the top of my head, but I do know that we have 29 supportive housing projects that are actively under construction. That it represents about 2,000 units. 1,200 of those are supportive housing. Remember, when we build supportive housing developments, it's sometimes a mix of affordable units for lower-income households on the verge of becoming homeless, and then supportive housing for people that are experiencing homelessness.
So, if they're under construction, they'll be done by the end of next year. So that's 1,000, you said?
Yeah, so it's about 2,000. Usually construction takes about 18 months once they break ground. So they're at varying stages. We anticipate the first two Triple H housing developments to open by the end of this year. We've already opened 15 developments with almost 900 units through other funding sources since voters approved Triple H since November 2016, and we've already completed two facilities that are funded by Triple H.
All right.
One of them in LA Family Housing's The Campus, which also has a mix of supportive housing part of the development.
I guess I haven't been paying attention to the construction projects. 18 months, I had no idea it took that long to build a unit of housing. Thank you very much, Ben Winter, Chief Housing Officer for the LA City Mayor's Office. We'll hear the response of the Comptroller, Ron Galperin, when we come back. We have other voices to include in our conversation. We're talking about the Comptroller's audit of Los Angeles City's implementation of bond measure HHH to create 10,000 units of permanently supportive housing. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. We're focused on the audit conducted by Los Angeles City Comptroller Ron Galperin. The audit released last night, highly critical of bond measure HHH and how funds are being spent for the construction of permanently supportive housing. Linda writes, I can't hold back. I'm outraged by this situation. The mayor and city council have to be held responsible. This is unacceptable. You can share your comments on the Air Talk page at kpecc.org. Let me go back to Comptroller Ron Galperin. Your response to Ben Winter saying that already most of these recommendations have been implemented.
Well, there's no question that there is a lot of people at the mayor's office, including the mayor himself, who are very focused on trying to address this crisis. And there are quite a number of efforts that are going to yield some results. What this audit was about, though, was about Triple H, that $1.2 billion. And the facts remain that at this moment, not a single one of those units that is Triple H funded are completed. And 19 are under construction. But if you look at the cost, it is a very, very high and, quite frankly, unacceptable cost. And what that comes at is at a cost of not building more units. When your unit costs are up to $700,000 a door, imagine how many more people you could house if your costs were significantly less. And it is not too late to turn this thing around, but a course correction is necessary. There are projects that are under construction. We want to see them completed. And there are many projects, though, that are only conditionally approved that are going to take years more until actually there's a shovel in the ground. So why don't we intervene now to drive down those costs and to find different ways to produce that housing much more cost effectively and much more quickly, because people are dying on our streets.
Also with us is Pete White, the founder and executive director of the Los Angeles Community Action Network, which works to alleviate poverty in Los Angeles. Pete White, thank you very much for being with us. Your thoughts after reading the audit.
Hey, thanks for having me. So my initial thoughts after reading the audit, some of the problems highlighted in this audit could have been averted or fixed if required audits were released in a timely manner. Just to be clear, LA Can has pursued an audit of HHH since the initial July 17 bond issuance of $86.4 million. Much of went unspent, thus triggering an audit. However, we're given the appearance now that the second bond issuance in July 2018 of $276 million was when the first audit was required. Why is that important? Now, after all of the resources have been committed, you release an audit that considers reneging on deals that have already been made and potentially placing the city at risk of litigation. None of this makes sense and stinks to high heaven. We would have to agree that the cost of building is outlandish in the city of Los Angeles. We really want to hear a bit more about this soft cost, sort of cost center, right? This soft cost representing 40% of what it costs to build housing in the city of Los Angeles. And then we would go one step further. The comptroller listed three recommendations. We would list a fourth. We would say that city policymakers must identify parcels of land that can be used for prefab, modular design, 3D printing, and container homes. This land must be leased to nonprofits and community land trusts with an understanding that projects need to be operational in under 1 year, thus demanding innovative techniques. And policymakers should also assess the availability of city-owned buildings that could be converted to housing under the adaptive reuse ordinance. Like, there are fixes. There are ways to get people off the streets. There are ways, like we're already talking about, we're estimating that 1,000 people will die on the streets of Los Angeles next year. That is abominable, right? We have the resources, we have public land, we have building, and we have ways to cut costs. And I believe we need to do that. And that starts with transparency from City Hall. That starts with making sure that required audits are actually released every year so we can course correct, not 3 years in.
Now, your organization supported the bond measure, right?
Absolutely. We knocked on doors. We did predictive dialing. We knocked on 10,000 doors. And so we are heavily, heavily committed to the implementation of HHH. I think it's disingenuous to say that, well, we've committed all the dollars and we can course correct at this moment. I don't believe that that course correction is going to happen. I would also welcome other developers who are at risk based on this, based on the audit of the controller, of potentially having their resources pulled in the fourth quarter.
Ron Galperin, is that potential there for them to have that pulled?
So, first of all, there are projects that are absolutely committed, and in fact, they are under construction. But there are also quite a number of projects, the majority of them, are so-called conditionally approved. And what that means is that there is not a contract that requires necessarily the city to fund that, because there are still so many other hoops that that project may have to jump through and other funding sources that it may need to achieve before it's even ready to break ground. I'm not suggesting that we go back and question every single one of these projects. And some of them are, in fact, worthy projects. But those ones particularly that are the outliers in terms of the costs, we need to look at how we either drive down the cost for those significantly or find ways to purpose that is not going to take necessarily years. Now, one other thing that was mentioned was city-owned properties, and on that I could not agree more. As a matter of fact, I had put out the first list and mapping of every single property owned by the city. We are the largest owner of real estate in the city of LA, that being the city, not to mention properties owned by the county, the federal government, the state. Even if we put a fraction of those to some use, Imagine how much housing we could produce, and to do so in a much more expeditious fashion.
All right. Lee Ragas, I know you have to go. Skid Row Housing Trust, what do you want to see come out of this audit?
I think just to support everything that everyone has has outlined just previously, I do think it was a great point around LA Can of just getting information out, you know, on a more consistent basis quicker. I would hope that people would exercise patience and understanding around the complexity as they see more of these projects come online. And I think just overall support for the initiatives to make sure that more people get homes, you know, and solve the homelessness overall faster, much, much faster.
Thank you very much, Lee Ragas, for being with us. I want to go back to Ron Galperin, L.A. City Controller. Pete White saying there should have been annual audits all along the way instead of here we are 3 years in. Why haven't they been there?
Well, this is the first of what is going to be, in fact, annual audits. What the bond measure required was that audits be done when money is being spent. And by the way, it took quite a while for them to gear up to actually start spending any money. And I hate to say that getting this information out of the departments of the city that are responsible for this has been like pulling teeth. And we got numbers, and then they got revised. And then we got new numbers from them, and then they got revised yet again. It has been very frustrating to actually come up with what is the accurate picture that we now have before us.
And finally, how can these soft costs of 40% per unit be cut?
Well, I think that the way to do that is, first of all, to talk much more with those developers, both the for-profit and the nonprofit, that are doing these projects, and hear from them about how they believe they can drive this down. The other is some of the things that are being done in Sacramento, as well as on the local level, to cut a lot of this red tape so that these developers, be they for-profit or not-for-profit, don't have to spend such a fortune on attorneys and on consultants and everybody else, which drives up those costs.
Thank you so much for being with us, L.A. City Controller Ron Galperin. We have a link to his department's audit on our AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Our thanks to Pete White of L.A. Can. He's founder and executive director of the anti-poverty organization Lee Ragus Skid Row Housing Trust, and Ben Winter, L.A. City Mayor's Office Chief Housing Officer. You're listening to AirTalk on 89.3 KPECC. When we return, we're going to be talking about the big dust-up between the NBA and China. They have a very lucrative business arrangement that at this point is on the ropes. Back after a live update from Hedy Lynn Herdes.